In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Today, children, is the feast of the seven sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And when it comes to our sorrowful Lady, there's always so much for us to really meditate on. And there's always so much that can come to our minds when it's talking about all that Our Lady suffered, not only in her life, but for the purpose of all of us, for our souls. From the very time that Saint Simeon told Our Lady that she would bear much sorrow in her life, that her heart would be pierced as if by a sword, all the way up until the point where she laid our Lord into the tomb, Our Lady endured so many sufferings. Those two, of course, are the first and the last of the seven swords as listed of the seven sorrows for Our Lady. But there wasn't just seven in total, but many different times in her life, or many and long durations of time where she had to suffer greatly for souls. And these sufferings that she had are hard for us to imagine in its entirety, the depth of what they are. Yes, Our Lady suffered because her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, died, and she didn't want him to die. And yes, many of us have had times where we've had to suffer. Many of us know what it means to lose somebody. And even some parents know what it means to lose a child. But nobody has ever suffered like Mary, because nobody has ever known what it was like besides her to lose not only a child, but to have that child be also God himself. And the only person ever to suffer as much as Our Lady is, of course, our Lord. And that is why it is fitting that these two Fridays before Easter time commemorate the suffering of each one of them. Of course, today is the Feast of the Seven Sorrows, and next Friday is the Feast of our Lord's suffering and death, Good Friday, as we know it. The Passion of our Lord happens next Friday. And the two are intimately united because they suffered for the same reason, and they suffered for the same goal, the redemption of all of us, the saving of our souls, and they suffered for the same cause, that is, because of our sins. It's said that Mary was only able to suffer as much as she did because it was because of a divine grace, a divine miracle given to her to take on all that suffering that she had to endure. Some of the spiritual writers even say that if her sorrows were divided up amongst all the people of the world, that each and every single one of us would die under our own section of the sorrows that she had. And this is because of what caused that sorrow. It is because she fully understood the true weight of sin, and she fully understood the true weight of our own killing of God, that each and every one of us is responsible for the crucifixion, because that was the price to pay for our sins. And understanding this completely is what caused the greatest pain in her heart. But why did God intend Mary to suffer so much? Why not take her like Saint Joseph? Saint Joseph, of course, passed away before our Lord had to go into his public ministry. Why not permit Our Lady to pass away simply as Saint Joseph did? Well, because this was part of Our Lady's special vocation in her life. She is called the new Eve. Remember, the first Eve the first Eve committed the sin along with the first Adam, and Jesus is the second Adam to take sin away from man, as the first Adam brought sin to man. Well, the first Eve also participated in bringing sin into the world. So it's only fitting that the second Eve, Our Lady, must share also in the redemption of sin. Secondly, the reason why Our Lady was allowed to suffer so much is that when Christ came to earth, he was only given to Mary after she agreed to take our Lord into her life. The angel came, Archangel Gabriel came and announced that what great miracle would befall Our Lady, but she did not conceive of our Lord until she agreed to it. She had to say, "Let thy will be done." And it was only through her willingness to allow our Lord to be taken that he would be taken from the world. She had to agree once again to give him back to God. Did you know that one of the greatest sufferings of Our Lady along that way of the Passion, she walked every step along the way with our Lord, and she walked all the way up to the foot of the cross, and she watched him hang there for 3 hours until he finally died. Her son, her God, the single object which she loved more than anything else in the entire world. And she knew all the way, with one word, she could have stopped all of it. She said one word and asked our Lord to stop all the suffering, he would have. But she was so united to the will of God that she knew it had to be done. And she willingly gave our Lord back over to the executioners to let him die, because it was for God's plan of redemption for mankind. Which brings us to that next point, that Our Lady was a perfect model for union with God's divine plan, with God's will, and that being so closely united to it, that her will and God's will were like one. And so therefore, because God willed to die for the redemption of man, Our Lady, as much as she loved our Lord, willed him to die too, because it was part of God's will. And lastly, Our Lady is to be the Queen of Heaven and Earth. And if Christ is the King of Heaven and Earth, then it is only fitting that the Queen shares in everything of the King in regards to their kingdom. And even that must mean the price that was necessary to bring the children of that kingdom, the people of that kingdom, back to God. So, what does this mean for all of us? Well, first off, we see by Our Lady's sufferings that we too should be able to willing to suffer at least a little bit. Our Lady suffered so much to help our Lord save souls. That's why she's called the co-redemptrix, because she died in a spiritual way, in the same way that our Lord died on the cross, that she suffered that same pains that he felt physically, she suffered in her heart. And so because of that, she paid that heavy price for our souls. Well, for us, we know that it's our sins, not hers, not our Lord's, that caused that suffering. And so we should be willing to suffer a little bit in reparation for our sins, to make up for them to God. And we should be also willing to allow ourselves to be united with God's will, no matter what that means for us, no matter what brings us to, whatever vocation in life that brings us to, whatever different trials or difficulties that may bring us to. If it's God's will, then if we are united to it, then we please our Lord by doing that. And the two of those things combined, trying always to do God's will, and being willing to make reparation by little sacrifices and prayers for the times when we're not united to God's will by our sins, by those two means, we'll share in the last part of Our Lady, which is that glorious union with God in heaven. Because we too will gain heaven by that simple following of her example. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and